I got a message here. And I'm serious. You're going to get your pens out and you're going to cross something out and you're going to rewrite it. Because I tell you what, the Word of God is true. And the Word of God is inspired, but not necessarily translations. And I believe that sincere and honest preaching from erroneous translations has caused God's children to live in less than the abundant life that God intended them to be living in. And again, I say sincere and honest ministers. That's why you have to rightly divide. So today, we're going to talk about something. And we hear messages upon messages upon messages on how to, right? Mm-hmm. How to be healed. You know, how to become financially blessed, how to succeed, whatever. So many how-to messages, and most of them lead us into believing it's works that we have to do. It's works that we have to do. And I'm always amazed because I spend 80% of my time or better in the epistles of Paul. And Paul doesn't do a whole lot of teaching on how to be healed. You know? Right. Yep. He doesn't. In fact, when you're reading his messages, they all center around the same thing. This is what Paul teaches. This is where Paul's answer is for everyone in any situation and in every situation. And we find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to be going through the Bible a lot. So write these verses down and look at them, you know, when you get a chance. And this is what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5 says. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come with an excellency of speech or excellency of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For here we go. And this is what the King James Version, how it has it. For I determined not to know anything among you. Basically, he's saying, for I determined not to preach anything to you, for I determined not to teach you anything, for I determined not to share anything with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith would stand in the power of God. Why? Because I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. I didn't come to you with worldly wisdom. I didn't come with you with fancy words. All I did was come to you and preach Christ and him crucified. That's it. Now, I want you to know one thing. When Paul is saying, I came to you and I preached Christ crucified, he just didn't stop with Christ died for your sins. That's not what this is saying. That's not what this is meaning. Why? Because we have the whole of Paul's letters. We have the whole of Paul's letters. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 says this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have also received, and where you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and then he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, verse 13 and 14. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith also is in vain. So, Now you know why Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This is the power of God unto salvation. What? Jesus Christ, he died for you. Jesus Christ, he carried your sins for you. Jesus Christ, he carried your sicknesses for you. Jesus Christ, he was buried with them. Jesus Christ, he took them with him. He took your sicknesses. He took your diseases. He took your poverty. They were upon him. He took them. He was buried with them. That means they're gone. And then, 3 days later, he rose from the dead with newness of life. And you rose with him to newness of life. That's Paul's gospel. That's all he preaches. That's all he preached over and over and over again. The answer is in Jesus. The answer is in Jesus. The answer is in your sickness. The answer is in your sin. The answer is in your poverty. Has been buried with him. Died with him and was buried with him. And then you were raised to newness of life with him. Healed, whole, righteous, holy, blameless, rich. This is the gospel. Well, how do I? How do I? How do I? The gospel, Jesus. Believe Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. 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 This is why. Penny? This is why he says faith. This faith we're all looking for to believe in all the things we're looking to take place and to happen in our lives, right? This faith comes by hearing and hearing about the Christ. Why? Because hearing about the Christ is God's power of everything you need and for everything you need. So this is why we fix our eyes on Jesus, because he is the author and completer of all things. Amen. That's as simple as it is. This is why Paul, how do I get out of debt? Jesus died, buried, raised from. Well, what does that have to do with? You have to believe your inclusion into him. You have to believe your oneness with him. You have to believe you're united with him and to him. Now, the more you see Christ, and the more you see your union, the more you see your true self. The more you see the self that God sees. But this is as simple as the gospel is. This is as simple as things are. Has it been okay so far?
Yeah, awesome.
How can it not be? It's about Jesus. Amen. All about Jesus. Amen. All about Jesus. Not about what this man has to do. Not about what you have to do. Not about what you have to do, Nina. Nina, look at me. Not about what you have to do. Okay?
All right.
Never.
Okay.
All right. Never. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 through 10. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, who's he? Jesus. He said, sacrifice and offerings. Do you hear this? Sacrifice and offerings you don't want. Huh? Jesus is saying the Father no longer wants your sacrifices and your offerings. Okay? You hear that? This is where I want you to cross out something in your Bible. Therefore, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, I plead that you make yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your only spiritual service of worship. That's Hebrews chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You take that out. You know why you take that out? Here, simply, Romans is about Jews and about Romans. How the Jews and the Romans were at odds with each other. How the Jews thought they were superior, and how the Romans, the Gentiles, they thought, you know, the Jews always thought that they were just less of a people, inferior of a people. In fact, before Christ, I think maybe even after Christ, they referred to them as dogs. So Paul spends his entire book of Romans saying, hey, listen, man, you Jews, you have no advantage over these Gentiles. You Gentiles, you have no advantage over these Jews. Right? And then he's like, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. And now all, Jews, Gentiles, you're all saved by the same thing, faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now you're all united to Christ. That means if you're a Jew, if you're a Gentile, you're all one with Christ. Christ, Jew, Gentile, you're all one. That's all he's preaching. So now why would he turn it around in Romans chapter 12 and make it about you? See, where it says, therefore, by the mercies of God, I beseech you to present yourselves. You know what that word in the Greek, present, means? It means stand beside. That makes sense according to the rest of the book. You're trying to get Jews and Gentiles to stand with one another, to stand with Christ. So now you're saying, I beseech you by the mercies of God to stand beside God's living sacrifice. God's holy and living sacrifice, which is the only thing you can do. So make sure you have that in your Bibles. So this is what he's saying right here, where he says, sacrifice and offerings you want not. He still doesn't want it. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Well, God, I feel like I have to do this, or God, I should do that. Or God. No. All I want you to do is look at what I've done. All I want you to do is look at Jesus. All I want you to do is see Jesus. That's it. That's all. See my offering. See my sacrifice. It's not about you. It's not about what you need to do. It's not about what you have to do. It's always going to be about you looking at what I've done, what I've given, what he's done. This is beautiful. But a body that thou hast prepared for me. Then I said, lo, I have come to do your will. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings. This is crazy. This is amazing. And offerings for sin thou wanted not, neither do you take pleasure in them, which are offered by the law. See, this is why God doesn't want that anymore. Because when people start believing that and thinking that, then they think that everything is up to them. Then they start thinking that they deserve something because of what they've done. Okay? I've made myself, I've given myself, I've done this, now I can come to God. I've done this, I've done that, I've given myself, I've made myself, now I can ask God. No, see, God doesn't want that at all. That's where freedom comes in. God bless you. That's where our freedom comes in. It's not about us, it's about him. Then said I, lo, I've come to do your will, O God, to take away the first, that I might establish the new, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. Wow, thank you, Jesus. So now, I want to look at the simplicity of the gospel. This is the simplicity of the gospel. I want to read about a little bit about Jesus, about God's sacrifice, about God's offering. So we're going to take a trip. We're going to take a trip to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. It's a beautiful psalm. Read it. This is what Jesus is saying, speaking of himself. But I am a worm. I'm a worm. I'm not a man. I'm a reproach of men. I'm despised of people. They are all laughing at me. They are all scornfully laughing at me. They spew out vulgarity out of their lips. They shake their head at me, saying, "Oh, he trusted in God. He trusted in the Lord that he would be delivered. Ah, let him deliver him now, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst made me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is all around. For there is no one here to help. Many bulls have encompassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths, and as a ravening and a roaring lion, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has become like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is all dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands, and they pierced my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and they stare upon me. There was no flesh left on me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. This is the gospel. His death. His death. All right? And then we read in Isaiah chapter 53. He was despised. I was despised. I was rejected. I was a man of sorrows. I was acquainted with grief. People hid their faces from me. I was despised. I was not esteemed. I bore everyone's griefs. I carried everyone's sorrows. Yet they still struck me. Yet I still was appearing to be smitten of God, and I still was afflicted. Yes, I was wounded for your sins. Yes, I was bruised for your iniquities. Yes, the chastisement for your peace was put upon me by the Father. And with the stripes that fell on my body, you were healed. Amen. All like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth to defend himself. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, but like a sheep, he was silent before his shearers. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of his people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased his Father to bruise him. It pleased his Father to crush him, to put him to grief, to make his soul an offering for sin. And this is why. Because he will see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge that his righteous servant will justify the many, because he would bear their iniquities. So here's the gospel. He died. He died because he was beaten, because his body was ripped to shreds. You know, he bled probably just about every drop of blood that was left in him from all the open wounds. Chastisement, scourging, griefs, sorrows, sicknesses, all on him. But you know what's amazing? Listen to what it says. Therefore, this is God now. Therefore, I'm going to divide this portion of greatness with all. And I'm going to divide the spoil. The spoil is what you get in victory, right? So look what he's saying there. I'm going to divide this spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So even in this portion of scripture, there is the promise that because of what Christ did, those that put their faith in him will share in the booty, in the spoil, in the victory. That's great. And so now we're looking at the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus died. Jesus died. Jesus died. He was buried, right? And he was risen from the grave. So here it is, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? It's important that when you read, let this mind be in you, that everything Paul says afterwards is the mind that is supposed to be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Okay, so that's part of the mind of Christ, humility, all right? But what follows is also part of the mind of Christ that Paul is talking about. Wherefore, he became obedient even to death, death on the cross. Wherefore, here's the mind of Christ. Here's the mind of Christ. Wherefore, God also highly exalted him. Exalted him. Haven't we been seated with him at the right hand of God? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. Where God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. Mm-hmm. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. We have been told that if we believe in him, we are given power and authority and the ability and the enablement to be his child. Highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, on things in heaven and on things in earth and things under the earth, that at every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So we're glorified with him, Romans chapter 8, verse 30, whom God called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, to many as believe in him, he's given power and he's given authority and he's given ability. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, we have been made a joint heir. We have been made a joint heir. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 7, we have been seated with him. Wow. Wow. So now, I know I shared a lot and I said I was making it simple. How is that simple? It seems complicated. No, it's not. Come here, Lori. This is how simple the gospel is. Here, you stand here. So everybody can see. Everybody can see my beautiful wife. There's my wife, Lord. You look at them. Don't look at me. Okay. This is Jesus.
Oh.
Okay? This is Jesus. He is glorious. He is majestic. He is an heir to the world. He has all authority and dominion. All that the Father has is his. Why? Because he came and in his complete obedience, he fulfilled the will of the Father.
Amen.
That's the gospel. This is Jesus, highly exalted. So now this new covenant, all I look at it and I say, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your offering. Thank you for your gift. Thank you. Now, I don't have to do anything to achieve perfection, to achieve provision, to achieve anything, except I believe in your offering. And as soon as I believe in his offering, this is the gospel. God puts me in Jesus. Puts me in Jesus, where everything that Jesus has and everything that Jesus is and everything that Jesus can do, I am, I can, and I have. All because of what Jesus did. That's the gospel. No more works, no more efforts, no more doing. It's been done. Jesus did it all. Jesus is it all. And now when I believe in him, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The Father establishes me in Christ, in righteousness. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. Now I am united with him. And simply because I am in Christ and I have been placed in Christ and I have been established in Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And that's the gospel. When you step out of Christ and you step into I need to, I had to, I must, you are not in the gospel anymore. It's all about what Jesus did. It's all about what Jesus did between Jesus and the Father. That's why I can't mess it up. As long as I know, it's all because of what Jesus did. It's all because I believe in him. I qualify for every gift and every bit of favor and every blessing and every promise. Amen. Thanks.
Amen.
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 Is that good?
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I get more and more free every day because I know. So what are you telling me, Pastor? I don't have to earn anything?
No.
That's what I'm telling you. You I don't have to make myself right or make myself better. That's what I'm saying. You're saying all I have to do is say, Jesus, Father, I believe in you. I believe in you, in what you did. I believe in your sacrifice.
Amen.
I believe you died and were buried and you rose from the dead. I believe.
Amen.
And guess what? As soon as you believe, you are instantly transformed into a child of God. And you are as righteous and holy as Jesus is himself. That's powerful, isn't it, Vinny?
Amen.
That's powerful. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you and we worship you for your great sacrifice and your great offering.
Amen.
And Jesus, we magnify your great and holy and wonderful name, your obedience,
hallelujah.
Oh, your sacrifice, what you went through. We give you praise, honor, and glory. And we thank you now,
yes, Lord,
that we know the Father. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and we qualify simply because we said yes to you, Jesus.
Yes.
We praise you and we worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.